You need to know your story, share your story of why you do what you do, because that's very important to not only the store, but to in customer as well.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast, episode number 95. Today, I have a special treat for you. As you know, it's a birthday month for Flourish and Thrive. My birthday was last week. Robin's birthday is coming up, and Flourish and Thrive birthday is coming up in about a month. So we like to call it birthday month, where it's really birthday 6 weeks. But today I have a special guest because, you know, around our birthdays, we like to party together. So today, Robin is on the show. Robin, welcome.
Thanks, Tracy. I'm so psyched to be here.
Well, I'm psyched to have you here, and you sound so excited. Anyway, so today, for those of you who followed Flourish and Thrive for a while, you know that I'm the chief visionary officer over here. Robin is our co-founder, I guess I should say, because we have a big team over here at Flourish and Thrive now. And she is really the wholesale expert over here, and she runs our mastermind, and she's just amazing as far as wholesale strategy goes. So we've been getting a lot of questions in our jewelry business incubator, in our other groups as well, about how to actually sell one of a kind to retail stores. And we've talked about this before, but we wanted to actually touch base on this again because we realized that it's a hot topic that people are always curious about, especially designers who design one of a kind and they actually want to sell to stores. And we're going to run you through some of the pros and cons today. Sound good, Rob?
Sounds perfect.
Awesome. So first and foremost, welcome to the show. I haven't had you on in a while.
I know.
I don't know why. We'll be recording more shows when you're in New York in a couple weeks. So that'll be fun.
Great. I can't wait.
Awesome. So why don't you give us just a little background on your wholesale experience, and then we're going to dive into some of the topics.
Absolutely. So I've been actually in the wholesale side of things since 2001, and I've seen a really interesting market. I've worked primarily with handmade products since 2001. And it's been really as most everyone knows, the economy is kind of ebbed and flowed and many changes, but also the way that stores are doing business has changed. And also the way that buyers are buying. So your customer has been evolving and changing too. So there's a lot going on out there.
There is a lot going on. And it's interesting because wholesale has changed. And we have, in our Mastering Wholesale course, we have a whole module on the new economy of wholesale because it's shifting. And we're actually going to be updating that as well because there is this new economy of wholesale that's sort of on the verge, which is great for all of you guys who design one-of-a-kind jewelry in particular, because so many stores are looking for that more and more these days.
Absolutely, they are. I know, it's been super interesting.
So Robin, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the changes? And I'd love to hear kind of your take on selling one-of-a-kind to retail stores.
Fantastic. Okay, well, as I said, it's been kind of changing out there. And you may have heard words like unique and made for you and custom and bespoke and all of those kind of words. But really what it's coming down to is that the customer is really looking for something unique for them. And what's happened is a lot of stores that didn't necessarily buy any sort of one of a kind are now kind of looking at it with a different eye and opening up to being more, you know, receptive to those one of a kind designers. And so should we talk about pros and cons, or can I talk a little bit about what it is that people look for?
Why don't we go into like what they're looking for? Because I know that there has been this huge shift, and there were many designers when I was actually wholesaling who were selling one of a kind wholesale, and it was actually the way that they positioned it and how they worked well. So I'd love for you to kind of walk us through a little bit. And then I want to share some of my experiences too of what I saw worked really well.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I'm noticing is that the successful designers, one of a kind designers, really have a distinct style. So they're very recognizable. And a couple examples I have are Margaret Solo, Sydney Lynch, Jamie Joseph, and Lena Skadgard. Now, if you look at any of their work, you'll know it's very easy to see that, you know, it's a Sydney Lynch piece or a Jamie Joseph piece. So that's one thing, is that it's really important to have that kind of distinct style, signature style, if you will. And there is a cohesion there, even though each piece will be different. And Sydney Lynch and Margaret Solo actually have pieces that they have what's called a designer line. So they actually do both, where they have pieces that are repeatable, but they do have a very strong one-of-a-kind. Really important when you're selling one-of-a-kind too is that you need to be able to photograph each piece. And I know that seems can be really daunting to a lot of designers in general, you know, to photograph all your jewelry, but even the one-of-a-kind, because if you're planning on selling wholesale, your buyer needs to see it.
Yeah, totally. And I want to stop you there so we don't like skim over this, because I wanted to talk a little bit more about how this has impacted the one-of-a-kind market in the wholesale industry, since trade shows aren't necessarily dying, but there's been a shift in attendance and how often people go. And it used to be that people like Jamie Joseph, and there's this brand Dara, this girl Dara, who's designed all one-of-a-kind back in the day, and they would just be able to bring all their stuff to trade shows, and the buyers would just like buy it up. Whoever got there first was able to grab it, and it created this great sense of urgency. And there's been this shift because people aren't attending as many trade shows as they used to. And so now, like you said, like every single piece has to be photographed, which can become a little bit more challenging, because it's not just like, okay, this is exclusively for you. Come see me at the show, or I'll bring my line in. If you're going to do any sort of digital sales, like everything needs to be photographed. So it's a little bit more work.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up a good point that when, you know, the shows, there are still some strong shows out there. And when these designers show, so I was recently at the New York Now show, and I saw Jamie Joseph, and I saw Margaret Solo, and I saw Lena Skadgar at this particular show. And what they do is when a buyer comes in to buy at a wholesale trade show, they will place their order from what they see, and then the designer will go back to their studio and ship out on the date that they want it. So there's still a lot of hand picking, but to your point, not every store buyer is going to a show. And that's why those images are so important. A lot more designers are actually physically going to see their accounts directly. And I know Lena Skadgard and Margaret Solo are represented by Christy Harris and Harris Dolby showrooms. And so they actually have showrooms that will go and see the stores directly. So those are all important components too, because you do need to get in front of the buyer in some way, shape, or form, right? In order to sell it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So what else, anything else about photography, Robin?
Definitely put on a white background is key. Keep it really, I mean, the white background, keeping really simple and showcasing the work is great. If you have, you know, some interesting class or something, it's great to show the whole piece. And with your line sheets, just give as much detail as you can. I think that's really important to have not only the photograph, but also to have line sheets where the detail of the pieces are mapped out for the buyer.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. What's next?
A couple of other things. You want to research the store, because you don't want to be knocking on doors where the store hasn't ever had one of a kind. So do your research, make sure that the store does offer one of a kind, and have conversations. See if the assortment that they have will, you know, support or look good with your jewelry too. So do due diligence, do your research on the stores. Also, really important, your story. We can't say this enough about every jewelry line, but especially one of a kind, you need to know your story, share your story of why you do what you do, because that's very important to not only the store, but the end customer as well.
Awesome. Yeah, totally. Researching the stores that actually do it, because not all stores like that. They want to be able to know exactly what they're going to get. And other stores, you know, really like the fact that they're the only one who has it, like exclusive to them.
True. Absolutely true.
All right. Now, what else, Robin?
Well, I think it's really important to look at what kind of stores do offer one of a kind.
Yeah.
And it's actually grown a lot. So just a handful that you may be familiar with: Ylang 23, Twist, Eliza Page, The Clay Pot, Quadrum, and Virtu are just a handful, but a lot more are offering it. So again, do your research, but I thought it was super interesting to look at these stores, because these are very successful stores. And I feel that one of a kind has become more and more important to them and to their customer.
You know, what's going to be so funny is that Ylang 23, Twist, Eliza Page, The Clay Pot, Quadrum, and Virtu are going to get like an influx of inquiries now.
Just for the record, do your research. Do not bombard stores without, just because we're saying the names here doesn't mean that they're the right fit for you.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to point out too is that if you talk to a rep years ago, I could almost put money on it that majority of the reps would say, oh, you're one of a kind. I'm not going to rep you. That's mm-hmm. too hard. It's too hard of a sell. And today you're seeing more reps picking up one of a kind. So there's also that opportunity there too. And I think that's just a lot to be said for how one of a kind has come around.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, also I think that that's good too, because if you have a rep who's actually on the road more so than just a showroom rep, I feel like road reps can do really successfully with one of mm-hmm. a kind, because they can do almost like a cash and carry situation where they hit up the stores and show them the collection, and then the store can just buy right there. So it's like a in-person trade show. And then they basically write a check or give the credit card and pay for it at the moment. It's not like a, where they have to ship it always. I know what my friend Trisha from years ago used to rep a one-of-a-kind line. She said it was her top-selling line because people love to dig, and it was almost like they were getting something super special. So they loved it.
That's exactly right. It's not only really nice for the store owner to be able to buy and take it right there, but it's really great for the rep too, because that's a cha-ching, hello, yeah. sale right there.
Yeah, yep, totally. All right, what else, Robin?
Well, I think there's, you know, as this changing environment, I think we're going to see a little more demand for what's unique and different, and what's going to be, I think with, especially with millennials, and just, there's just so much access to having things that are going to be unique to each individual. So it's going to be, I'm excited to see what happens, but I think this is absolutely a growing category.
Amazing. Yeah, totally. What about the story? I think that one of a kind is like an important thing to be able to, part of the selling point from this retail store perspective is really about being able to communicate your story. And I know with my jewelry, because it is bespoke or custom, however you want to call it, commissioned work, people are commissioning me for a piece of jewelry. One of the things that's interesting about that is that my story and the reason why I came across or started doing custom work has been really powerful and actually getting people to buy it or getting people to work with me. And so I think the same is true for people who are actually selling one of a kind of stores. Would you agree?
I absolutely would agree, because your story is powerful and it's where the connection happens. So there's a lot of gorgeous jewelry out there, but the story is going to really solidify why it's that extra connection and how the stones are chosen. I mean, if you read the stories of any of these designers we talked about, it's really wonderful to hear their background, you know, to read about, you know, their background, to see what calls them to designing and what makes it so special and kind of their perspective on it. So I think the story is really key. And if you talk to any rep group nowadays, the story is going to be the primary thing that they're really looking for if you have a very strong story.
Yeah. And that's how they actually sell the work, and they share like the experience of the brand. And it has to, it deals with more than just like, you know, I learned to make jewelry at Rhode Island School of Design or something like that. You know, it goes way deeper than that. It's really like, what's your influence? You know, why are you passionate about the type of jewelry you design? Like, what are your inspirations? And even further, you know, like for me, it's really about that personal connection, because that's my why, the personal connection that I have with my clients to actually create the piece of jewelry. So it can go to multiple levels. And I would say like the more deep you're willing to go, the better chance of selling one of a kind, actually like getting the stores to buy, but then also on the flip side, getting the people selling your jewelry in the stores to be able to communicate about your brand will actually increase your sales significantly.
Absolutely. And I'll just read you from her story. She said, Lena's collections reflects in the synthesis place where history, culture, and faith and landscape. So it's this vital relationship between all of that.
So where they merge?
Yeah, it's kind of like the landscape and always emphasizing the most vital relationship of the talisman to the dreamer, the object to the adorn. So what she does in her, what's really deep for her is taking the place, taking history, culture, faith, and landscape, and this is where she gets her inspiration. This is where she's molding all of this together and how she crafts her pieces. So, you know, it's so much deeper than I like pretty things and I like making things, you know. So I think that's really important to know what's calling you to create these beautiful pieces.
Yeah. And Margaret Solo has a really interesting story because she came into this because her brother died. And so it was sort of, she was in a career change in Hollywood and she would have never like made that transition if it hadn't have been for her brother on his deathbed saying something along the lines of like, you know, follow your passion. Life's too short. Kind of, I mean, I'm summarizing, but from our conversations with Margaret, I feel like that was something that was really powerful for her. And I know with Jamie, it's really about the stones. You know, it's like what she finds. I mean, this has been her thing, like a lapidary, cutting the stones, finding the rough and like turning that into the jewelry. So it's an interesting evolution, I would say.
It so is. And I love, I mean, just even hearing these stories that we're talking about, it's just, you even feel even more of a connection with these people, these designers. And Sydney Lynch, I know that her grandmother always had really wonderful costume jewelry and she would, you know, as a little girl, kind of rummaged through her grandmother's drawer, and it was really inspiring for her. So there are different stories, and each resonates with different people. So it's such a big part of it. And like I said, if you talk to any rep, that's going to be one of their main questions.
Yeah, exactly. So do you want to whip through some of the pros and cons of selling one of a kind to wholesale?
I think that would be so helpful, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with the pros.
Okay. So buyers like something unique. So that's something that's a big pro, that buyers are actually, more and more buyers are looking for those unique pieces. And we've certainly seen a movement for more one-of-a-kind pieces just overall. Something that I know is big for a lot of buyers too is exclusivity. When you have one-of-a-kind pieces, they're pretty exclusive to that store. No other stores have it.
Yeah, you see on websites or in stores like exclusively for blah, 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 blah. And I mean, this is the thing where collaborations with designers and stores are starting to happen even to in the clothing space or in the handbag space where they're, you know, designing specific pieces only for that store so that you can only get it there. And, you know, when you're a boutique or a smaller designer, maybe that's not where you're at the moment. But those are just like, that's sort of the direction people are moving in because the people are tired of, you know, having the same thing, or the store owners are tired of having the same thing all other store owners. And I know that some of these stores that you mentioned earlier, Elong 23, Twist, Eliza Page, the Clay Pot, Quadrum, and Vertu, often have carry the same lines because they're some of the top designers. But there, I definitely have seen a movement towards many of these store buyers actually wanting stuff that's exclusively for them so that they're not all selling the same thing online, offline, or whatever, because it ends up becoming a who's selling it for the best price kind of thing in store. They want to make sure that they're getting something that like no one else can get, right? That exclusivity piece.
Yes, correct. And the other thing too is that these established businesses have customers that come back to them again and again and again, and they want to be able to sell to these customers, repeat. I mean, just like, you know, a jewelry designer having a successful business, you want repeat customers. And if you're selling the same thing over and over again, that customer will probably end up buying as much as they want to. But then there's that breaking point. So by offering one of a kind and more uniqueness, then that customer can come back and find something to buy every single time.
And it also creates this sense of urgency. Like if I don't get it now and I wait, I won't be able to get it again.
That's such a good point. The sense of urgency is huge.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great selling point.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the cons.
All right. So some of the cons, harder to feature, and you're going to have to do a lot of photography. You know, that alone, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of extra work. Challenging. I think it's like harder to feature your products. It's a lot of extra work because you're doing, you know, basically you have maybe instead of, you know, 25 pieces in a collection that's repeatable, you might have 150 pieces that all need to be photographed. And every single time, they'll need to be photographed. And it's harder to actually do this process like virtually as opposed to having to show it in person, I would say. I mean, that to me seems like it's a little bit more of a challenge. It's not impossible because of the internet and digital photography, and we can snap pictures from our phones these days and get things over quickly. But, you know, a lot of times the buyers, they want a professional photo so they can just take that photo and stick it on their site. So there's a more higher expense when it comes to that. It's harder to feature the products for you. So what that ends up doing is making it a little bit more expensive for you to do wholesale. So you need to make sure, number one, that it's incorporated into your price point, but also that comes back down to, it has to be saleable at a retail price point. So there's a lot less margin there in your pricing structure, which can potentially happen. So, you know, it's a great way, especially if you're working in a premium price point, to get more of your designs out there and more of your unique designs. But these are just things that you want to think about if you're wanting to approach stores and do it this way, because instead of making maybe the regular retail markup on a piece, you're only, for a one-of-a-kind piece, only going to be making the wholesale markup on a piece. And that's less margin for you and more volume that you have to sell and a little bit more work on your end.
Well, and you mentioned that people might want to see it in person. And that's a big thing too, is that even though you have great photography, is that you're going to get buyers who won't place an order until they actually see it and hold it, and until they get to know you better and to know the quality and your craftsmanship and trust you. It's that know, like, and trust factor, yeah, right?
Definitely.
And then there's also that you could be limiting yourself most likely, because not all stores and catalogs will want one of a kind. So there's not going to be as many opportunities to sell your work. So that's something to think about as well.
That is definitely something to think about, because not all stores want to do that. They'd rather just have it be easy and know what they're going to get and know that they can reorder it if it sells through and know that, you know, their favorite piece isn't going to go away tomorrow.
Yeah, it's that sure. It's, you know, we call it the sure thing. So let's say, you know, a store gets in a particular necklace and they sell it right away. Well, they would normally, if it's repeatable, they would normally call you up and say, I would love 5 more of these. But if it's not something that, if it's one of a kind, you can't do that. So that's something that they need to consider for their stores, if that's something that they want to do and venture into that.
Absolutely. All right, Robin. Well, you know, that was so much great information. So we talked a little bit about a lot of this is really about the pros and why one of a kind is becoming more common, I guess, selling to retail stores. And I know that when we first started Flourish and Thrive Academy, we were saying it's so much harder. And nowadays, like, people want that exclusivity. They want original product. They want something that no one else has, because it helps elevate their brand and their store presence and gets people, especially their repeat customers, coming back for more. So lots of good nuggets in here. So it's your birthday coming up on June 2nd, right?
June 1st.
Sorry. Oh, geez. I should know that. I always say June 2nd. I think another friend of mine is June 2nd. All right. June 1st. Sorry, guys. I've known Robin for years and I still don't exactly know when her birthday is. But
I think it's just drilled into your brain that it's June 2nd.
I know. Every year I'm like, Robin's birthday is June 2nd. It's really June 1st. So that's just how we roll here. I'll say it's June 2nd. Well, that gives us an excuse to have a birthday party for 2 days for you, right?
I love it.
Okay, cool.
Let's do it.
Cool. All right. Since it's birthday month, we have some free gifts to give you. Robin, are you excited?
I'm so excited, Tracy. You know how I love giving away free stuff.
You do love giving away free stuff. I know that about you very much. So we have a really great checklist for all of you who are trying to sell one of a kind to stores. You can go grab the pros and cons of selling to stores checklist over at flourishthriveacademy.com/episode 95. Right there on the podcast post, you'll see a place to download this little checklist. You can keep it at the ready when you're ready to sell to stores and remember all the things that you need to think about when you're wanting to sell your one-of-a-kind jewelry to retail stores. It's a pretty great checklist. And we also have a masterclass, right, Robin?
Yes, we do. I love wholesale, Tracy. You know I do. And I love working with buyers and I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Yeah. So we have this great new masterclass. So name will be revealed really soon. That's designed to show you some of our favorite shortcuts to selling to retail stores, so you don't feel like all of your efforts are moving into thin air. So if you want to join us for that, it's completely free. You can check it out over at flourishthriveacademy.com/sell-to-stores. That's flourishthriveacademy.com/sell-to-stores. And I love it when Robin gets to present and do masterclasses, because as you heard her say a moment ago, she is really like our wholesale guru over here. She loves wholesale. She loves working with buyers. She loves the ins and outs of everything about selling to stores. So we're really excited to bring this to you. And I know she's extra excited to bring it to you right around her birthday, so that we can have a double celebration or triple celebration, since I can't seem to remember when her birthday is.
We'll just keep celebrating it, right?
We'll just keep celebrating. And keep your eyes open, because it's pretty much birthday month because we have the Flourish and Thrive birthday coming up on July 5th, right, Rob?
We sure do. 5 years. Oh my gosh.
5 years on July 5th. That's 5-5, right?
Five on five.
Lucky numbers. We're like heading into our flow here, which is super fun because Rob and I just love being here and bringing you guys all this jewelry business goodness. And we're just thrilled to be here every single week in and out and thrilled to be here on the podcast. We're thrilled to, you know, present to you our courses and our membership, like our Diamond Insiders and programs like our Mastermind program. So we're just thrilled to be here and excited that it's our 5th year, which is huge, huge for us, right, Rob?
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe it's 5 years. It's so awesome. And you know what makes it just the best is we have an incredible community of amazing designers from all over the world. It's the coolest.
Yeah, that's the coolest part for sure about it. Community and collaboration over competition. Hashtag community over competition. Best hashtag ever. Yeah, and we're just excited to keep bringing you this great, you know, business advice every single week. And we're thrilled to be here. So if you want to go grab that checklist, head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/episode95. You'll also see an opportunity to sign up for the Sell to Stores Masterclass, which will be presented. And yeah, we're excited to be here. As always, if you love what you're listening to, we'd really appreciate you to tell us what you think. So you can head on over to the blog and write a little comment in the comments below and let us know how we're doing, because it really helps us cater our content, cater our information. If there's something that you want to hear about, we really want to know so that we can keep bringing you great episodes every single week. All right, you guys, thanks so much for joining us today. Until next time, have a good one. Bye-bye.